Oh, good. soul. Does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Purpose. An expert physician treats his patients with a therapeutic diet, for example. Milk preparations sometimes cause disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredients cures such disorders. Similarly, the threefold miseries of material existence cannot be mitigated simply by material activities. Such activities have to be spiritualized. Just as by fire, iron is made red hot and thereby the action of fire begins. Similarly, the material conception of a thing is once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. That is the secret of spiritual success. We should not try to lord it over the material nature, nor should we reject material things. The best way to make best use of a bad bargain is to use everything in relation to the supreme spiritual being. Everything is an emanation from the Supreme Spirit, and by his inconceivable potency, he can convert spirit into matter and matter into spirit. Therefore, a material thing, so-called, is at once turned into a spiritual force by the great will of the Lord. The necessary condition for such a change is to employ so-called matter in the service of spirit. That is the way to treat our material diseases and elevate ourselves to the spiritual plane where there is no misery, no lamentation, and no fear. When everything is thus employed in the service of the Lord, we can experience that there is nothing except the Supreme Brahman. The Vedic mantra that everything is Brahman is thus realized by us. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jitha Prakamanam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Nambitam Sajivam Sadaitam Sarajudam Vadijanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Shukam Vitam Shtam. So the Mayavadis, they want to deny the reality of this material existence. They say Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya. Spirit is truth, and this material world is false. But if God has created something, is that a very nice thing to say is false? Prabhupada explains. No, it is not false. The material, there are two natures. They are both real. They act in a different way, but they're all coming from the same source. It's a matter of how you utilize the energy of God. If you utilize it properly, it is spiritual energy. If you misuse it, it is material energy. It's the same energy, it depends how you use it. Prabhupada gives the example of an electrician. He can take the same electrical energy, he can heat with it or he can cool with it. So every person has an access to the energy of God. Everyone has access, full access to the energy. How will you use it? Use it for Krishna's service, or will you use it for your sense gratification? Use it for sense gratification, you're stuck in the cycle of present day. If you use it in the service of the Lord, you become liberated. Jivan Mukta. Liberated soul. This is a very important point. Rupa Goswami confirms this point in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anapatata Vishayam Yadarvam Upayum Nijaha Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagam Ushyate Prapanchakte Abhujya Hari Sambandhi Vastanaha Mukshirvi Paritiago Vairagyam Pavukachyate. A person who is not attached to anything, but at the same time engages everything in the service of the Lord, is properly situated in renunciation. On the other hand, a person who rejects everything, not understanding its relationship with the Lord, is called Pavu Vairagi. His renunciation is imperfect and incomplete. This word Pavu is very significant, as I explained in one of our Bhakti Viksha programs yesterday. There is a river in India called the Pavu River. And if I take you down to show you the river, I say, okay, here's the Pavu River. And you look and say, well, where's the river? All you see is a sandy bank, and you don't see any river. And I say, well, look, you dig into the sand, and you'll see it's an underground river flowing, the Pavu River, the underground river. So, those who say, oh, this world is false, I won't deal with this world, I would just go to sit in some solitary place and meditate that everything is Brahman. They are imperfect and incomplete in their renunciation. They don't see that everything is the energy of Krishna. It's like somebody can walk into the bank. Prabhupada gave the example of Bank of America. We don't have that branch here in London. Someone walked into the Bank of America with a gun and stick up the robbery. Fill all my attaché case with $100 bills, or I'll shoot you. So that person's a rascal. He's a thief. He's come to steal from the bank, come to rob the bank. So he's nonsense. Another man comes in and he says, I renounce this bank. He's also nonsense. They're both nonsense. To claim proprietorship, okay, give me the money. Or to say, I renounce it. Both positions are nonsense. Why? Because the second person doesn't own the bank to begin with. How you can renounce that which you don't even own? I renounce this world. Well, did you even own it, sir? And now you're saying you renounce it? Since when did you own it to renounce it? This is the foolishness of these Mayavadi. I renounce the world. You never had it to begin with, sir. And now you're saying you renounce it. So it's called less intelligent position. To actually see everything as the energy of God. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 10, text 8. Krishna says, Taham sarvasya prabhava mataksaram purvartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Then he also confirmed in chapter 5, text 29, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Chanchamrishati. I'm the enjoyer of everything. Well, why? How Krishna can claim he's the enjoyer of everything? Because he says the next line, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. If he's the owner, he's the enjoyer, right? If you own a car, you're the one that has the right to enjoy driving around town. If somebody says, I'd like to enjoy your car, I'm going to hotwire it, you're a thief. The only person who has the rightful enjoyer is the proprietor. The owner is the only rightful person to enjoy it. If you're not the owner, you don't have any right to enjoy it. Only the owner has the right to enjoy it. So this world, everything, all this is for Krishna's enjoyment. The whole scene is for Krishna's enjoyment. The whole movie going on here, the whole drama going on, this whole amazing thing called existence going on is simply for the purpose of Krishna's enjoyment. You may say, what about me? I want to enjoy it too. Well, Krishna has his plan for you to enjoy it. If you participate in his enjoyment, you will enjoy equally with God. All you have to do is agree to participate in his enjoyment. Okay, you own everything. It's all for your enjoyment. I accept that. And how can I help you enjoy even more, my Lord? I see. That's the mood of the humble servant. He doesn't think I have to enjoy. No, he simply thinks, how can I give more and more enjoyment to my master? That's the servant's mood. So in this way, by taking up this mood of serving Krishna, serving his enjoyment, then we enjoy equally. In fact, as I have many times explained, the enjoyment of the devotee actually exceeds the enjoyment of the Lord. That's why the Lord, not wanting to be outdone by his devotee, he becomes a devotee also. He joins the Bhakta program. Bhakta Avatar. You've heard of Bhakta Avatar? Lord Chaitanya is called Bhakta Avatar. Bhakta Avatar, you see. He joins the Bhakta program. Because he doesn't want somebody to enjoy more than him, so he joins the Bhakta program so he can increase his enjoyment even more. To be a devotee is more enjoyable than to be God, and that's the point. So if you're a devotee and you're not enjoying it, well, you're doing something wrong, Prabhu. You're doing something wrong, Haraji. If you're not enjoying like anything at every minute, then you're not doing something wrong. There's a defect in your practice of bhakti yoga. Is a defect. Even the preliminary stage before the bhakti platform is completely ecstatic. That's described in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakamshati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhakti Nabhate Param. One who comes to the transcendental platform, he becomes absolutely full of this. He doesn't hanker for anything. He doesn't lament about anything. He is equally disposed towards every single living entity. And Krishna says, Mad Bhaktim Padmavate Param. And in that state of the mind consciousness, he comes to pure devotional service. So even the preliminary stage of bhakti yoga is completely ecstatic. So if I'm doing bhakti yoga and I'm not completely ecstatic, well, there's something wrong. Committing some offenses, especially nama-parada, that's where you got to look. If you're not happy, look, get out the list of the 10 offenses and look carefully at it and analyze yourself. Well, which ones am I committing? Because I guarantee you, if you're not list out, you're committing nama-parada. You just got to study those offenses and see what am I doing. First offense is to be offensive toward devotees. Well, do I have a proper love and respect for all the devotees? That's the first thing to see. If you got that one covered, you're probably in pretty good shape, because that's the heaviest thing of all that causes one to not be happy in Krishna consciousness, to not have loving relationships with the devotees, to be envious of the devotees, critical of the devotees, to not have that vasa, that, you know, Tad Sadhu Sangha Rasa. It's very important. We all need Sadhu Sangha Rasa, that taste of associating with sadhus. If we don't have that, then Prabhupada says we are Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotees. Materialistic devotee, he comes to the temple, he bows down to the deities. Does he have any respect for the devotees? No. I saw this, a very classic case of this in our Houston temple years ago. There was one gentleman. He ran in a very high-level shopping mall. Forgive what they call it. It's like the rich people, you know, the ritzy shopping mall. And he had a jewelry store there. So he would come every Monday morning, you can understand. Every Monday morning, he would come like clockwork for darshan. He had a time after the Bhagavatam class, after all the devotees went to the prasad room and the temple was empty, he'd come in and take the darshan and beg for the blessing for bhakti? No, for Lakshmi. Opening his jewelry shop for another week, you see. And I even tried to talk to him. I was there one day when he came in. I somehow was late leaving the temple room. And I tried to talk to him, you know, because I was doing life membership preaching at that time. We would cultivate the Indian families and go do programs in the home. It was a very enlightening program, actually. He had no interest to even talk to me. wanted to come and see Krishna and get the blessings of Krishna for money, 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 sweetest money. So that's a classic example of a Kanishtha Adhikari. He doesn't want to have a relationship with devotees. You see? He's actually envious of devotees. He just wants to get the blessings of Krishna for his material advancement. So he has some devotion. But it's motivated, you see. It's not unmotivated. Instead of a haitaki bhakti, he has haitaki bhakti. A haitaki bhakti means unmotivated emotional service. Haitaki means there's a motive, I guess some strings attached. See. Krishna, I will bow down to you if you give me this, 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 and this. It's a business deal, like two businessmen negotiating. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't be a businessman with God. Do not do this. There's no need to do that. Does a child have to negotiate with a parent to get his food to eat? Does he have to negotiate with mother and father to get his food? No. The parents feed him out of love. Do you have to say, oh my dear mother and father, please give me my daily chapati? Is it? He never has to ask that. So why do we have to go to God and say, dear God, please give us our daily bread like the Christians pray? It shows they don't understand bhakti. They do not understand pure bhakti. They understand going to God to get material desires fulfilled. Now, I'm not picking on the Christians, because we're all guilty of this. Hindus, Jews, everyone. We approach God to get our material desires fulfilled. There's no need for this. It's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 9, text number 22. Ananishchintayanto mam ye jana prayapasate te shamichabhyuktanam yogachemam bahamyaham. You know that slogan? Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have, I carry what they lack, Prabhupada's purport was, Krishna personally delivers to your door all your necessities. Can you imagine the DHL man comes to the door to give you what you need and it's Krishna? That Krishna does that for his pure devotees. He personally gives them everything they need. And you say, how's that possible? Krishna would personally serve his devotees? How's that possible? But it's only for a certain class of devotees. You have to be in the highest elite status of pure bhakti. That's called akama bhakti, with no material desires. As long as we have sakama bhakti, we're not going to get that kind of reciprocation from Krishna. You know, I have my desire, I want this, I want this, and also become Krishna conscious. See, that's sakama bhakti. But when you become completely free of all material desires, and your only desire is to please Krishna, with your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in all times, all places and all circumstances, and Krishna becomes your personal supplier of everything you need. Everything you need. So that's called the Prabhupada translated, one who worships me with exclusive devotion. What does exclusive mean? That means only Krishna. And it's confirmed in the Krishna book. Prabhupada says Krishna is the only object of love. And I say, well, I can't love my wife or my kids or my husband or my friends. I mean, what is this philosophy? No. This is the philosophy of how you love everyone and everything perfectly by giving all 100% plus of your love to Krishna. When you go to eat, all of your bodily parts need nourishment, don't they? So you fill the bathtub up with some dal, you get in there and soak for a while so your skin gets nutrition it needs? No. You put the food in the mouth, it goes to the belly, and then the whole body becomes nourished. So Krishna is the belly, he's the universal belly, the cosmic belly is Krishna. Isn't it? If you give your love to Krishna, You're part of Krishna also. We're all part of Krishna. We're in the separated expansions. We're all part of Krishna. So when you give your love to Krishna, every single ounce of your love is given completely to Krishna. Then guess what? You feel the love. Everybody you deal with can feel the love coming from you because you're connected with the source of all existence. So this is the Vaishnava. I read an amazing thing yesterday in the Bhagavatam. It was really amazing. So many Indian people, they want to worship the demigods to get this favor and that favor. Prabhupada said, the one who preaches Krishna consciousness, one who absorbs their life in giving Krishna to others, that person becomes a favorite of the demigods. And they bestow all benedictions upon that person. In other words, he doesn't have to worship the demigods, the demigods worship him. You see? For one who's totally dedicated to giving Krishna consciousness to others. So, is there anything stopping you from doing that? It's Lord Chaitanya's order. Jaridika Tarikaha Krishna Upadesha Maragaya Guru Horyatayade. Is there anything stopping you from totally absorbing your life and giving Krishna to others? Yes, there is. You know what it is? It's your vassal mind. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given very nice instructions. He has said, every morning when you wake up, you take those shoes sitting over there and you beat your mind many times. And in the evening, give the shoes a break, and now it's time for the broomstick. 100 times in the evening, beat your mind with broomstick. You have to bring your mind under control. If you let your mind control you, you are going to be caught in karma chakra for all eternity. You can never escape the cycle of birth and death until you bring your mind under control. You understand this point? You cannot remain a servant of your mind and expect to get out of the cycle of birth and death. You have to bring your mind completely under your control. I don't care who you are, man, woman, child, senior citizen, teenager, everyone has to learn the art of how to bring their mind under control. This is called yogi. This is the real meaning of yoga. To bring your mind under control. Krishna says, yato yato nishtalati manashtam shalamashtaram datostato niyayamitad atmanivavishamiya. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. He also says in text 67 of chapter 2, Indriyanam hi charitam yan manam ubhidiyate tatascharatati gagam vayarna oram vambasi. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses can completely carry away a man's intelligence. If you just let one of your senses go off the track and your mind will go with it, you see, and that'll be it. That'll be fine. Krishna to become Krishna conscious in this material world, it's like shaving yourself with a straight edge razor, a very sharp straight edge razor. You have to be very careful, otherwise there will be blood. So one must be very careful in this path of bhakti. Very, very careful. But you don't have to get scared because there's an easy way to be safe. This is described in the Bhagavatam. Samashvatayeri palapallava plavam mahatpadam punyisho marale babam budirvatsa padam 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 natesham. I love that verse. So sweet. Shakespeare can't come close to that composure. They also did it as a master poet in all of the universe. Shakespeare can't touch it. Samashvatayi palapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomarare babam badir vatsa padam 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 yadva padam nate sham. Ooh, it's so sweet. So sweet. Oozing with oceans of nectar. The Sanskrit language is the most poetic language. Every everything else is just a bastardization of Sam's goodness. That's a powerful word. One of our life members used to use that word. I don't know. What is this word? Bastardization. You know, pollution. We had a Bengali life member. He always used that word. I rarely use it, but it's a really powerful word. It's a bonafide word in the English dictionary. Bastardization. Yeah, I mean, it's polluted. So, in this verse means, for one who takes shelter of the boat, of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and who is famous for annihilating that rascal demon named Muddha. This vast, insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes reduced down to the amount of water contained in the footprint of the God. For such a person, his destination is Param Padam, the Vaikuntha realm. Not that place, Padam Padam Yadda Padam Dade Sham. Not that place where there is danger at every step. So you say, oh, it's a razor's edge, it sounds too heavy for me, I can't handle this. But no, you're okay. Just take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. My dear Lord, I understand that your feet are a suitable boat for crossing that ocean of material existence. So now I come to you and I beg you, my dear Lord, please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Please, Krishna, give me the shelter of your lotus feet. We should pray in this way. In this mood of complete helplessness, we should beg Krishna, please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. And Prabhupada explains, actually, this is usually if there's some ship, you see, and it's crossing over the ocean, well, you got to get down to the dock in time. What happens if there's a traffic jam on the way to the dock and you missed it, and the ship has set sail and you missed it? Too bad. But with this ship, you don't have to worry about it, you see. Because, Vatsapadam, that ocean became so small. That big, the ship is always there at the dock. You know, it's never going to leave the dock. So anytime you want, you can surrender now, you can surrender tomorrow, next year. The ship is always there at the dock, ready for you to come and get on the ship. You never have to worry about missing the boat, because it'll always be there, but you do have to get down to the dock. That you have to do. You have to make that endeavor. You see, that, yes, I want to be at the boat. I want to regain my original transcendental identity as an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one of the Supreme Lord. I don't want to rot anymore in this cycle of birth and death, sometimes a human being, sometimes a dog, sometimes a worm, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a leper, sometimes a king. I'm sick and tired of karma chakra, birth, death, old age, and disease, adiyatmic, adibodhic, adiyazadic. I want out of here. You have to have that determination. If you think there is some enjoyment in this material world, you're not ready. If you think there is anything enjoyable in this material world, you are not ready for Krishna consciousness. You're not ready. Krishna confirms, Abrahma bhuvana loka puna ravartina rajana mam upaichira kondeya puna janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place, but he who attains to my abode, the Son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So you may say, but come on, there's so many things that are enjoyable here. How you can say that? I mean, you're fanatic, they may criticize. You Hare Krishna people, you're just fanatics. You know? There's so much enjoyment here. There's beautiful girls everywhere, there's hot dog stands, hamburger stands, beer joints, the beach, I mean, movies. Come on, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Hare Krishna is crazy. Enjoy, man. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Is it? That's their attitude. That's the fact. They think about as much of weirdos over there in the Hare Krishna temple. They don't know how to enjoy life, you know. Now, no girls were attracted to him, so he became a brahmachari out of frustration. You know, they had this attitude about the devotees. that they don't understand. They do not understand that all the enjoyment they have is simply skin deep. It's skin deep only. It's simply on the skin level. It doesn't penetrate to the actual self. It's touching the garment only. The material body is the garment worn by the soul. It is not the soul. It is the garment being temporarily worn by the soul. Can you become happy by satisfying your garment? Just try it at a Sunday feast. Don't take a Sunday feast, but dip your chowder in the sweet rice and see if you enjoy the Sunday feast. Just dip your chowder in the sweet rice, you know. Dip it in the dal. See if you enjoy the feast. Put the glove jamun in your, you know, in your curtain pocket and squash it in the table. See if you can enjoy it. Try it. You won't enjoy it because it's not you. It's just the shirt you're wearing. That's all. So their enjoyment is simply the titillation of the senses of that garment being worn by the soul. It doesn't touch the Atma. It doesn't touch the actual living entity. The jiva is never actually satisfied by any amount of sense gratification. Never. He's never satisfied. It's like the Prabhupada gives that example of the fish out of water. There's a fish locked up on the beach, and someone thinks, I want to help the poor little fish to be happy. He looks pretty miserable there. Why don't I bring him a nice Mercedes Benz? That would make his day, I'm sure. How about, you know, give them a recording contract with Sony Records. You know, maybe that'll make him happy. Or, you know, give him a beautiful girlfriend, you know, Miss Australia is a girlfriend. Or give him, you know, a few $1 billion. But no matter what you do, that fish is going to be flapping in agony. He's not going to be happy. The only way you can satisfy that fish is to throw him back in the water. So who does that? That's the spiritual master. That's the devotees. They come and they say, my dear sir, why are you suffering in this material existence? Don't you realize that you're not that body? Don't you realize you're an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Lord, you're meant to enjoy unlimited happiness? Don't you realize this? Why are you rotting here? Smoking cigarettes and coughing. What are you gaining by all this? You see. So this is the kindness of the spiritual master. This is the kindness of the Vaishnava. He wants to wake the people up from their sleeping condition and make them happy. So, does anybody have any questions? I think we can stop now for questions. Yes. I have to speak up, I'm deaf. Develop the determination to do what? Okay. How do we develop the necessary determination to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada gives a very nice, I think you all have read, maybe some of you have done. Prabhupada gives a very, very wonderful example of determination. That nice story, that little story. When she had her eggs, and of course, the mother is very attached to the mother bird is very, very attached to the egg. That's nature's way that the eggs will be given proper care. So the ocean decided to have a little fun taunting that poor little sparrow bird, and he stole the eggs from the sparrow. And the little sparrow is completely distraught. Give my eggs back. Give my... No. She was completely distraught. What to do? What to do? How to get the eggs back? So she said, the only thing she could think of was, I'm going to dry up that ocean. She was so determined. She would run down to the bank. She would take some drops of water. She would run back up to the dry land, deposit that water in the dry land, go back down, and begin a few more drops, again, depositing. She was determined to dry up the ocean in that way. Is determined to do it. Everybody is laughing. That stupid little bird, she's going to burn herself to death in a few minutes. She only get a few gallons at most of the ocean. She's not going to But there is one, bird, his name is Garuda, and he is the king of the birds. And he is naturally feels some obligation to protect his family members. So he heard what was going on, how his little sister was being abused by the ocean and all these people standing around mocking him. He was completely infuriated. He came zooming in there, and he told the ocean, "You better give those eggs back immediately, or I will try you up." And the ocean knew Garuda has all mystic powers. He's the Lord Vishnu is carrying. Yes. So, if you have the determination of a little sparrow, it seems impossible to come up here, doesn't it? We're so full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. How can I become purely Krishna conscious? It seems impossible. It seems as impossible as drying out the ocean by running up and down between the bank and the water, grabbing the water with your little beak. It seems impossible. But we have the greatest acharyas, especially we have the greatest acharyas, divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is like Garuda. Prabhupada, if you take up this mission of Prabhupada, if you embrace Prabhupada's mission as your life and soul, if you take Prabhupada's teaching as your guiding principle, that I want simply to serve Prabhupada's instructions for all of eternity, that is my only desire, that Prabhupada will give his full potency to you, to protect you, to guide you, to inspire you, to enlighten you, to enthuse you. Prabhupada's full potency will come to you. So that's the secret. Just remember your Siksha Guru. You know who your Siksha Guru is? The little sparrow. She is your Siksha Guru. Just remember your Siksha Guru, the little sparrow. And do whatever you can with your little beak, or, you know, with our tiny, who are we? We're very tiny, insignificant little people. Against a huge material ocean. We should have to just be determined. I'm going to do everything I can to become a pure devotee at every minute. I'm going to discipline my thoughts, discipline my words, discipline my activities in all times, all places, and all circumstances, be pleasing to Krishna, be pleasing to Guru, be pleasing to Vaishnavas. I know I'm a rascal, I have so many bad habits, and I'm going to try, like anything, to get over them every day, at every minute. I'm going to try to get rid of my bad habits, all these anarchies in my heart. I'm going to work on it every day. Make that your determination. Sure, you're a rascal, there's no doubt. We're all rascals. That's why. What is the proof? You got a material body. That proves you're a rascal. It's like sometimes on the side of the highway, you see the prisoners out there working, you know, the chain gang out there picking up litter, whatever. They got their prison uniform, you know, he's an inmate. So, this material world is a prison, and your material body is your prison uniform. The proof that you're a rascal is you have a material body. That proves that you're a rascal. You're in prison in this material existence, and this is your prison uniform, material body. So, we have to understand, be very humble about our position. I'm in a very fallen position. I rebelled against God. I wanted to take his position. And he mercifully put me to a place where I could be rectified from this stupid mentality of wanting to take his position. So now I have this good opportunity. He has sent the pure devotees here. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Krishna himself has come 5,000 years ago, even 500 years ago he came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much mercy, now let me just take full advantage of it and give up my nonsense, you know, demoniac mentality, trying to lure it over. You have that, you make that your determination. And as Prabhupada says, if you take one step to Krishna, he'll take 10 steps to you. Even if you don't have much determination, just even muster up a little teeny weeny, itsy bitsy teeny weeny, a little bit of determination. And Krishna will give you an ocean of reciprocation to encourage you. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah. senses. It does have a that sense gratification does very much have an impact on our consciousness of the fact. The more we engage in sense gratification, the more we become clouded, the more we become contaminated, the more our consciousness, the more sense gratification you indulge in, the more you become covered with material nature. It does have a very heavy duty impact. The more you violate the laws of nature, the more you become entangled in the laws of nature. Sense gratification is a violation of the laws of nature. You're allowed what you need to stay healthy, that's okay. But to go beyond what you need for health, simply to sense indulgence, that is a violation of the laws of nature. That violation of the laws of nature, the reaction is you become more and more entangled in the material laws. So this verse is saying, you don't have to just think, oh no, I have to get away from this material nature. No, just engage the material nature in Krishna's service. You have eyes, you want to see something beautiful, look at the deity. You have ears, you want to hear something beautiful, listen to the kirtan. You have an intelligence that wants to analyze interesting concepts, study this philosophy. Take all of your material senses and engage them in the service of the Lord. This is a very nice shloka in this connection by Srila Rupa Goswami. Atakshi Krishna, it's 1, 2, 234, Bhakti Vasamrita Sindhu. Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavadrayaminjai, Sehon Mukhehi Jivado, Swayam Ivasparajadaha. It's very nice. He says, nobody can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, etc., with his blunt, materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes Krishnaized, spiritually saturated, by engaging his senses in the service of the Lord, beginning with the tongue, only then are the transcendental name, fame, forms, qualities, pastimes, entourage, etc., of that amazing Supreme Personality of God have revealed to him. This is a very important thing. We have our contaminated senses, so how can we understand God? When I was a hippie songwriter, I was associated with devotees, but I was pretty proud of this. I thought I knew something better than the devotees. So I would sometimes debate with them. Actually, sometimes they couldn't defeat my arguments. I ran into one of the devotees on the Berkeley campus one day. Chishukananda, my godbrother. Now he's my godbrother. Then he's just one of those Hare Krishna fanatics. I said, you Hare Krishna people, you say that your senses are imperfect. So how do you know Krishna is God? Your imperfect senses are saying that Krishna is God. You are perceiving that Krishna is God with your imperfect senses. Therefore, how you can say he's God? Your senses are imperfect. Your mind is imperfect. Your intelligence is imperfect. All your senses are imperfect. So how, if your senses are imperfect, how are you even claiming to know anything? And he was, he couldn't say a word. I defeated him. Of course, luckily I found out how to defeat my own argument later on. That's why I'm here. And the defeat is Rupa Goswami's verse. With your blunt, materially contaminated senses, you cannot understand God as a thing. But when you engage those senses in the service of the Lord, they become Krishnaized, spiritually saturated senses, and then you can realize God. The same senses, when engaged in the service of the Lord, are no longer imperfect senses. They become perfect senses. When you gaze upon the deities, your eyes become perfect. When you hear the Hare Krishna mantra, your ears become perfect. When you consider Vaishnava philosophy, your intelligence becomes perfect. In this way, you can understand God. So yes, we are contaminated. Our senses are very contaminated, but if you will simply engage in the service of the Supreme, then those same senses that now are your enemy, those same senses will be your best friend. You just got engaged in the service of Krishna. because you heard it, that would be beneficial. Prabhupada said, the Bodhi said, so alright, I'm going to make this experiment. I'm going to engage my senses in the service of Krishna and see what happens. Be open-minded. We tried everything else, haven't we? Especially in the Western world, we've tried every type of sense gratification. So why not try this? We tried everything else and we still weren't happy. So why not try this? Engage your senses in the service of Krishna. Let's try it and see what the result is. If you don't like it, you can go do something else. But if it's actually what Prabhupada says it is, what Krishna says it is, then you've got the most amazing treasure beyond even what the demigods possess in the heavenly planets. You've actually, Prabhupada is giving us pure bhakti. Pure bhakti means God becomes your property. Can you imagine? God becomes your personal property. That is pure bhakti. So, I think we're going a bit over time now. What is the official ending time? Is there any official ending time? In some temples it's very strict. I get chastised as the temple president if I go 1 minute over. So I don't know about the rule that should. But it usually ends about. Is there any rule?
Today is a holiday.
Huh?
Today is a holiday.
Alright. Okay. Well, I always think about the 1,000-year sacrifice that the sages were doing in Nama Shrine to hold off the Kali Yuga. So I think we'll have a 1,000-year Bhagavatam class. You ready? You think we'll run out of things to say, no? Because the amazing thing about speaking Krishna Katha is every time you say something about Krishna, new everything, every time you say one thing, it opens up another dimension. And you say that thing, and that opens up another dimension, which opens up another dimension. So that way you could actually, you know, one could glorify Krishna for all of eternity and never run out of things to say, and never become old. That's the poetry of Krishna Katha. We were studying it last night at the Sunday feast lecture. Ramanati Tasha. They simply enjoy it. The devotees derive prashantica, ramanticha. The devotees taste great bliss and satisfaction by hearing and chanting about Krishna. Why is it so nectarian to hear and chant about Krishna? Do you know why? Because you're associating with Krishna directly. He is personally present in his glorification. When you're talking about Krishna, he's personally present. Amazing. Tunde Tandavani Ritingitanate Tundavali Lovdingi Karna Kruda Kadamani Gatayate Kudavi Devasyaham Chaita Prangana Sangani Vijayate Savandriyaman Putin Nojane Janita Kriya Viramita Krishniti Vainandai. Anybody know that slok? That's the slok that Papa told George Harrison he should make a popular song about this mantra. I don't think George did that. The translation is this. I do not know how much nectar these two souls, Krishna, produce. I don't know. It's beyond my comprehension. Rupa Goswami says, it's beyond my comprehension. Because when I vibrate Krishna, Krishna is dancing on my tongue, and there's so much unlimited oceans of nectar in that Krishna on my tongue. My one tongue just can't capture all the nectar. I need to have millions of tongues to capture the nectar coming out of that vibration, Krishna. And then when that sound vibration, Krishna, enters the holes of my ears, it's so amazing. There's so much nectar there. I need to have trillions and quadrillions of years in order to capture at least a little tiny fraction of that unlimited ocean of nectar. And then when that Krishna vibration dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of tranquil wonder. So that's the poetry of Krishna Katha. There's so much nectar in glorifying Krishna that this universe can't contain it. Can't contain it. we can actually revive our vision. The Prabhupada talks about it in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, Swarup Siddhi. You can actually achieve the perfection of realizing your own original form in the spiritual sky. Everybody has a Swarup. So by this process, gradually, it comes at a very advanced stage. Don't try to guess it now. That's called Sahaja, taking it cheaply. But just be a completely sold-out servant of Guru and Krishna. And by that dedication, you become completely free of all material contamination. Completely, totally free. And then your Swarup will be revealed to you at that time. It will come to you. Automatically, Prabhupada said. So just stick with this process. Chant good rounds. Follow the regulative principles. No illicit sex. No meat eating, no intoxication or gambling. Try to cultivate loving relationships with all the devotees, even if you disagree with them, even if you had a fight with them or whatever. Always be very forgiving and tolerant. And always try to love all the devotees. Because unless you love the devotees, you can't love Krishna. Yeme bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta satyajana. Mad bhaktananjaye bhaktas teme bhakta matamata. Krishna tells this to Arjuna in the Adi Purana. You know this one? He says, my dear son of Prita, the one who is my devotee, name bhaktas. That's pretty elementary Sanskrit. I think any of us, that's pretty obvious. Name bhaktas. He's not my devotee. The one who is my devotee, name bhaktas. He's not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee, my devotee, he is my real devotee. Want to be devotee of Krishna? Then you have to find devotees that you can devote yourself to. And that's pretty easy here. We have Prabhupada sitting there on the Vyasasam. We can immediately devote our hearts to Prabhupada. Such an amazing personality. And then we see those people who are following Prabhupada strictly. We can love them also and devote ourselves to them as well because they're serving Prabhupada purely. So in this way, we can love the devotees, the Prabhupada and the Prabhupada Nugas. Love Prabhupada and love the Prabhupada Nugas. And that way Krishna will accept you as Jesus' devotee. And you will not have to see birth again in this material world. So we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Gantarab Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Melbourne Vaishnavas Ki Jai. Okay, this is on.